Our second reading comes from Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about it tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Success is a lousy teacher. It makes smart people think they can't lose. I think that was part of the message that Paul was trying to convey to the Christians at Corinth. You see, the Christians there were divided. Each side was trying to gain power and control. And this letter was Paul's attempt to establish his authority as a servant of Christ. But he did it in a very unusual way. Paul did not join in the battle by wielding his power or authority over them. He didn't use the holier-than-thou approach. Instead, he boasted in a new and humorous way. Speaking of himself in the third person, he tells of a person who was lifted up into paradise, where he directly encountered the mystery of God. But as for himself, he speaks only of his weakness. It's not that success is a bad thing, but Paul is pointing out that that weakness or faults on their own will not keep us from being a Christian or a good servant. And God has proven this many a time by using people with weaknesses, using people that most of us would call losers. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about his wife. Sarah laughed at God. Jacob was a deceiver. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Gideon was fearful. Samson had serious problems with lust and anger. Eli failed as a father. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Solomon married foreign wives who turned his heart towards idolatry. Elijah struggled with depression. Jonah ran away from God. Peter denied Christ. James and John wanted a special seat in the kingdom. Now the list goes on, and we all have weaknesses or failures. Jesus said once, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Paul is just revealing his secret. In facing failure, we make room for God in our lives. At last, we realize who is sick and desperate for healing. We are. Now, that brings us to our reading from Matthew, because I think it addresses one of the weaknesses that many of us battle, and that is worry. Jesus knows us well. He knows that much of our time is spent worrying. War and economic struggle leaves us precarious. But even peace and prosperity do not stop the brain from sounding alarms about what might occur. Now, Jesus sounds like a flower child who tells this barking brain, just cut it out, just stop. But there is another way to live. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Instead, taste the beauty of the world. See God's goodness in our faulty selves. Seek the will of a higher power in what today brings. Now, this may sound simple enough, but try telling this to a newly singled or widowed parent with a small children to care for, or telling a person that just became unemployed or has been diagnosed with a serious illness, someone who is continually bullied about whatever sets them different from the rest of us. But it doesn't matter if you're worrying about food on the table or what others think of you. These words are still very reassuring. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. All He's asking of us is that we seek Him first, and seek Him and His righteousness first, and all our needs will be met. Jesus is pointing out the bondage we create when we make ourselves, our needs, and choices the center of things. He is reminding us, as Paul was, not to get caught up in the holier-than-thou mentality. Being right and justified is not the furthest reach of being Christian. More important are faith, hope, and love. Do I give myself to the one who is greater? Who is trusted? What is risked? What is believed? The answers to all these questions should be acceptable to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.